The second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it reads as such. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house of the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we ask for your presence now, Lord, that you would come and hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Pray that your spirit might fall in this place as never before, that we might be transformed by your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. There were four preachers who were probably from different denominations, but they wanted to get together and begin to have a fellowship, you know, a safe place where they could talk. And they had been getting together for a while, and they thought that they would have a retreat. And on this retreat, one of them said, "You know, we asked our people to confess their needs before God and before us. And the people do that. Perhaps we should do the same." And someone said, "Are you saying that we should confess our sins?" And he said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." And they all agreed. And the first one, he confessed that he liked to sneak out of church and go see a movie. He liked to go to the movies, but he didn't want anybody to know about it, so he would sneak out of church and go see a movie. And the second one confessed that he would go in the back of the church and He liked to smoke a cigar, and he didn't want anybody to know, especially his wife, because she didn't want him smoking, but he sure did like a good cigar. And the third one talked about cards. He loved to play cards. He was good at any game in cards, and he could play some cards. He was really proud of it, but he didn't want the church to know. And the fourth one didn't say anything. And the guy says, hold on, man, we confessed our stuff to you. You agreed, you promised to share your stuff with us. Talk to us. What's your vice? What gets in the way? He said, I don't know if I really want to tell you guys what my problem is. They said, come on, man. He says, all right. I like the gossip, and I can't wait to get back and tell them what you guys told me. Sometimes good news is juicy, isn't it? When my wife was pregnant with Joshua, I walked into the bedroom, and there was this little photograph. I couldn't make it out, but it was, you know, I had to get closer to it. And it was a picture of a sonogram, and I went nuts. I went berserk. Joshua is a 7-year prayer. I went crazy. And the next day, I took that little picture, and I was so excited. I blew it up to poster size, and I put it on the door of where I worked, and everybody that came in asked me about it, and I was so excited. I came home, and I told my wife what I had done, and she went berserk. Take it down. You better go back to your job right now and take it down. And she told me I had taken a private celebration, and I made it public, and she didn't appreciate it. And I said, okay. So I went and I took it down. But when Joshua was born, I had to tell it all. And there he is. I told everybody. Everybody I knew that Joshua was born. How can you keep this great news to yourself? Amen? I want to challenge your thinking tonight with the thought, the shepherds told it all. The shepherds told it all. Let me hear you say that. What I want you to get into your spirit is that Mary is accompanied by her beloved husband, Joseph. They're in Bethlehem in a lowly place, maybe a cave, a barn, a stable, surrounded by animals. And while Mary is laboring to deliver her firstborn son, I want you to imagine with me, if you will, God the Father pacing nervously in the halls of heaven as he observes the birth of his only begotten son. Parents, in those first few moments, are speechless. New parents gaze with fascination as we examine the child. Every inch of the newborn child is examined. We count the fingers. We count the toes. We look at the skin. We look at everything about this child. And no matter how much we think that we prepare ourselves, the reality of new birth astounds us. But let's take a look at Mary. Mary is there, nestled in her arms, is this brand new member of the human race. Here is our future, our legacy. And she checked his eyes, I imagine. She checked his mouth, his ears. And you know how you look for the telltale signs. Is this a family member? Is there some traits about this child that looks like the family? Most of all, she silently thanked the Lord over and over for this gift so unimaginable, so wonderful. I imagine she prayed. I imagine she sang. Can you imagine how intently Joseph and Mary must have studied the Christ child who came to them in Bethlehem? You see, his coming was not foretold by doctors, but by angels. And if those angels were right, and I believe that they are, here in the starlight was the Messiah. the subject of poems and songs and dreams for thousands of years, here nestled in Mary's arms is baby Jesus, the one who's come to change the world. Our first question might be, why did God choose Jesus to come as a child? Jesus is the one like no other. He's fully human and fully divine simultaneously. Nothing about his humanity could be denied or detracted from his godliness. And nothing from his godliness could be denied or detracted from his humanity. But only because of this can this child reconcile the world back to God. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, the virgin birth is a sign of his divinity. He comes to the earth from the outside, pure and clean, and he is in no way a product of this world. And then we look at the infancy of this child, and it speaks to his humanity. He's one of us in every way. He arrives from heaven with perfection and godliness to which we've never seen. But how could we follow the footsteps of a man that we hadn't seen walk or crawl? How could we believe that he had undergone all of the temptations that we would experience in life, and he had bypassed those most difficult years in which we struggled to earn our adulthood? You see, to make the full sacrifice on our behalf, Jesus had to make the full commitment. It meant that he couldn't come to us fully formed, 33 years old, blazing in heavenly glory, and said, go ahead, put the nails in my wrist and my feet, and when you're done, I'm going to go back to heaven. It wouldn't have made sense to us. No. You see, that wasn't God's plan. It was through the pain of labor and delivery that comes this beautiful baby. He's wrapped in strips of clothing to keep him warm. And is this if God the Father had to spread the good news? He sends out a birth announcement like no other. Angelic messengers and bright light and glory, they let the word out. We might expect heaven to get excited and to break forth in shouts of praise. This is a once-in-history event. Never before had God taken on human flesh. This was new. This was exciting. It was God's plan that this child, his only begotten, would change the world and reconcile him, his people, to himself. The announcement didn't go out to national heads of state, political players, those with royal blood. The announcement didn't go out to the aristocrats, the famous people, governors, Pharisees, Sadducees. Here lies the twist about this birth announcement. Here in Bethlehem was born the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God visiting our planet in this one lifetime event. No other announcements would be given. This was it. This was the biggest event in human history. And the mayor in Bethlehem didn't get the announcement. The high priests in Jerusalem were left out. Caesar and the member of his royal courts are not on the list to receive this great news. None of the officials, none of the power, no one of elite standing got this announcement. My friends, the palace didn't hear it. The temple didn't hear it. This good news was not given to all of Jerusalem. This birth announcement, it went out to a group of sheep herders on the outside of Bethlehem. Here's my second question. Why the shepherds? Why wouldn't God give it to the nobility? Why wouldn't he give it to Pharisees and the Sadducees? Why the shepherds? There might be many reasons why God would give it to the shepherds. But I believe that by giving it to the shepherds, we get a glimpse of Jesus' ministry as the good shepherd. God intentionally seeks out those who we considered overlooked and disregarded, and we count them out. That's who he gave the message to. You see, great leaders in Israel's history had a connection with shepherding. Jesus will now have a connection to shepherding. In Exodus 3, we read that Moses being called while shepherding the flock of Jethro. And there he experienced the presence of God in the burning bush. We find that King David was a shepherd boy when he was anointed by Samuel as king of Israel. He rose from shepherding sheep to shepherding the people. God raised up many shepherds, and now he will raise up Jesus as a shepherd. Isaiah 40 and 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are with young. The shepherd on the hills of Bethlehem, that first Christmas, they received the news about God. And though they were afraid, they didn't stop there. How might we respond that the angels just suddenly showed up and the glory of the Lord shone around them? I'd be terrified. Anybody? It might take me a minute or two to adjust, but I'd be a little afraid. And then it says, other heavenly hosts showed up. And they were praising God, and they brought forth this good news about the Christ child. Now notice what the shepherds did. You know, the shepherds were tough people. You had to be tough out there watching your flock, protecting them. It could be a bear, it could be a lion, it could be whatever. They were tough people. They were hard workers too. There was no rest for a shepherd because sheep are dumb. And they didn't know anything about, you know, staying out of trouble, staying, y'all hear me say that all the time. I'm not making an analogy. But anyway, but the shepherds were tough. And notice what they did. After they had this great experience of the angels, of the glory of the Lord, of the heavenly host singing, they left everything. And they said, let's go see this great thing that the Lord has done. They left their sheep. They left everything to go see it. Do we have that kind of trust that when God comes to us and speaks, we'll trust what we hear? And when the shepherds went and they saw this thing that God had done, they went back and they told everybody what God had said to them. And when the scripture says, and they were amazed, it says that people came to faith. God didn't bring the people to faith by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, but by the shepherds. They told Mary what they had heard, Mary wasn't surprised the angels had come to her. Joseph wasn't surprised the angels had come to them. But the people around them were amazed. And then they went back to their hometowns, telling folks what God had done. And people were brought to faith. This baby, I imagine God couldn't contain himself with this birth announcement. When my son was born, I couldn't contain myself. I was beside myself. Anybody that knew me knew that boy was born. When Joshua was born, I sang a song to him. Jesus loves me. And then I prayed over him and I offered him back into the service of the Lord. We were driving in the car yesterday, and he says, "Papa, I want to be just like you." I don't know if that's something to aspire to. And he says, "But I want to be a preacher just like you." And I said, "Son," I just thought he was kind of joking. I said, "Son, that's something God will do." He says, "Well, how will God do it?" I said, "Well, you could pray and ask God for that." He stopped right there, and he said, "God, I want to be a preacher. Make it happen. Amen." And God can make it happen. My friends, I'm so excited about this day. Because of this Christ child, we have salvation. We've been reconciled back to God because of this Christ child. Because of the Christ child, we've been reconciled to the Father. That's good news. That's good news. Let us pray. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for this day. We ask that you would come and speak to our minds and speak to our hearts as never before. Help us to talk about the birth of Christ at our Christmas table with our friends. Let us be like the shepherds who went out and told it all. Let's go out and tell all of our friends that salvation is theirs for the asking because of the Christ child. We pray it to be so now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,